Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 this morning. We're going to read verses 9 through 11 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. That's Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. As you're finding your place in the Word of God, would you please stand in respect and honor of the Word of God this morning as we read together? Acts chapter 1, and beginning at verse 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to preach, to hear the Word of God preached in our midst. God, work in our hearts today. Use the pastor and the Word of God to help us to be better Christians today. God, give us the courage to hear and heed what's being preached this morning. And Father, for this task to occur and for this to be done in our hearts and our lives, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes to preach to us. Use him to help us today. And then finally, Lord, if there's somebody in this room that does not know about this Jesus that we just read about, I pray this morning they would see him as their Savior and the need to accept him as their Savior this morning before they leave this room. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, check your cell phone, please, and make sure that it is turned to off. Or to vibrate at the very least so we don't hear that. You say, I'm pretty sure that it's off. Make sure for certain that it's off. Because if it goes off in the service, we're all going to stand up and point at you and laugh. So you don't want to be publicly humiliated. So help us, would you please, today? We would appreciate that very, very much. Jesus is coming again. Yes, Jesus is coming again. You know, it's interesting when you stop to think about this event we just read about here in the Bible in Acts chapter 1. The disciples have received the great commission from the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, after he said this to them, he began to ascend back to heaven. They're standing there watching him go up into the sky. While they're watching, a cloud receives him out of their sight. While the cloud receives them, they're still standing there gazing up. Now with them, the Bible says, there appear two men in white apparel, and they say, why stand you here gazing up? This same Jesus that ye have seen go, ye shall see also see come in the same manner. Now let me explain to you what that means. What they told those two men in white apparel were angels from heaven, and they were telling these disciples, you saw the literal, visible return of Christ to heaven. And he says, you will see the literal, visible return of Christ to this earth. We just passed another prediction of the return and the doom and the thing and the stuff and everything else that was going on. He missed it again. I think that's it for Harold Camping now. It's done, right? No more. Nobody should listen to him about anything. If he said it was Tuesday and it's Tuesday, I still would look at the calendar, all right? He can't get it right. He didn't get it right. He hasn't gotten it right. He won't get it right. Because the Bible says, Matthew 24, 36, no man knoweth the hour or the day. The Bible is clear. Now, let me explain to you. My 2 years of Greek and year of Hebrew and 30 years of preaching the Bible, let me explain to you what no man means. It means no man. Just what the Bible says. You don't know the hour or the day. Please remember that. Not only, but you can't set a date for the return of Christ, because it's already Monday somewhere else in the world. It hasn't been Sunday yet in other parts. So if you say it's Sunday at 4 o'clock, someone's not going to get it because it has to come at Sunday at 4 o'clock. We just know he's going to come back. When he comes back, he's taking everybody up that's saved. And it's a literal, visible return. My mom's people were all Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Jehovah's Witnesses made several predictions on the return of Christ. They missed it also, by the way. And when it happened, the date passed and Christ did not return, they always try to explain it away and say, well, it was a spiritual second coming. And they try to explain it. No, the Bible says, you saw him go up, you're going to see him come down. It's literal in his return. It's literal in his return to this earth. It's literal. There's nothing spiritual about the return of Christ. It's literal. That same Jesus, this same Jesus that ye have seen go in like manner shall so return. He went up in a literal return to heaven. He's coming back in a literal return to this earth. Okay, are we clear now? And Jesus is coming again. For the child of God is such a great hope. I mean, you think about it. Today is October the 30th. November 1st is coming and the rent's due. Wouldn't it be nice for him to come back on Halloween? Trick or treat, we go up and somebody else can pay the bills. Wouldn't that be nice? Think about that for a moment. I mean, this thing about the second coming of Christ, it's such a wonderful thing. And you say, I've heard it all before, Pastor Johnson. Then I'm sorry, that's how you look at it. I don't look at it like that. I thought about the coming of Christ this morning, how he is coming again, and how it encouraged my heart so much. And by the way, let me say this too, listen carefully. It is a fact that Jesus will return again. So no, that's a matter of faith. No, it's a fact. Let me show you. Hold your place there in Acts 1. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Turn there, please. I want to show you something. It's a fact. It's a historical fact. It's a proven fact that Christ will return again. So, well, how could it be a fact he hasn't come back yet? Because he came the first time. And I want to show you something in Isaiah. We're about to go to Isaiah 9 and verse 6, please. Hold your place in Acts there. We'll come back later. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This is a verse we're about to take a good look at again as Christmas time approaches and we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ when he came to this world the first time. But look at Isaiah 9 verse 6 now. Follow carefully. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Great Christmas verse, right? Jesus came. He was born. A child was given. That babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And Jesus Christ was God, God in human flesh, wrapped in the flesh of mankind, came to this earth, born of a virgin. Jesus Christ came the first time. That is a historical, established fact. Agreed? Can't deny that. Don't matter what anyone says. It's a proven historical fact that Jesus Christ came as it was born of a child and lived, walked on this earth. Isaiah 9:6. Prophesied that hundreds of years before he came. But wait a minute. Now look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This child that was born to us, whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, who came the first time. Did he do that stuff in verse 7 yet? Has the government set on his shoulders? Has Jesus sat on the throne of David yet? Well, that's yet to come. Because, see, Isaiah 9:6 is Christ's first coming. Isaiah 9:7 is Christ's second coming. And since it's a fact he came the first time, he's coming again. Because he has to come back and the government has to rest on his shoulders and his peace will cover this earth and Jesus will rule and reign from David's throne. That is a fact. So that's the second coming of Christ. So since we know he came the first time, we know he's coming again. The second coming of Christ. What does it mean to us? Well, let's look at it. It means, first of all, the promise. It is a promise to us. God promised us this. Jesus, when he was here, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. He's talking about heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, listen now, there you may be also. Jesus was on the earth when he said that. And he said there. So he's not coming back to keep us here. He's coming back to take us there where the Father's house is, where the mansions are, this place called heaven. He promised that. Now listen, and there's many promises in Scripture. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, there's a promise that the one you saw go up, you're going to see him come back. That's a promise. The disciples lived with that. The early Christians have lived with that. Christians for centuries have lived on the promise that God said Jesus will come again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what the promise means to you and me today. Either God is going to keep the promise of Christ's return, or God is a liar. So I know which one I believe, Pastor Johnson. I do too. The God who promised Jesus would come back is going to keep that promise. He is coming again. It's been 2,000 years, Pastor Johnson. Okay, one more time. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. We look at it as 2,000 years since Christ returned. I believe God looks at it as 2 days. In the eternal realm, it's 2 days since he said he would come back. It's not been long. It won't be long. It's not much longer. And hey, let me tell you something. In relation to eternity, it's not long at all. God promised. That's what the second coming is. It's the promise of God. And that promise is going to be fulfilled. Not according to somebody's timetables, not according to anything else, but God's understanding. See, the reason that no man knows the hour or the day when Christ will return is because Matthew 24 teaches us that it's in the mind and the heart of the Father. He's already set a time. Somewhere along the way, we've got to stop saying, if the Lord tarries. I appreciate the expression. I know what people mean by that. His coming has not happened yet, and we're anticipating he will come, and that kind of. But don't think for a second that Jesus is in heaven saying, now, no, now, no, now, no. And that God is waiting for all this stuff to happen down here before it's taking place. Everything's done. It's all in order now. It's been done since the late 40s. Everything is finished now. There are no prophecies left to be fulfilled. There's nothing left that needs to be done on this earth. It's all finished. I think, frankly, the last piece of the puzzle before the return of Christ was this gospel shall be preached unto all the earth. That's done now. Not everybody's heard it, but it's available. Not everyone can get to it, but it is available to the four corners of this earth. I believe that's the last piece of the puzzle. Everything is done. Jesus Christ is coming again. It's in the mind of the Father. The date has been set with him. The day is ready. The moment is ready. And now we're just simply waiting for the fulfillment of his promise. You know what the second coming is? It is a promise. Do you know what the second coming is? It's a parting. It's a parting. Listen to this passage, and I want to ask you to turn there if you'll just listen carefully. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's a church nursery verse, by the way. Verse 52, in a moment, you'll get that by slow freight. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the trump of God sounds, the Bible says, the dead in Christ rise first. That's why I think Jesus comes back on Sunday morning. All these people out there looking at you like a calf eyeing a new gate. The trump sound, boop, you'll go up too if you're saved. Don't worry about it. The dead in Christ rise first. Yes, Methodists go to heaven. And the Bible says, and I'm sorry, forgive me. Baptists have to pick on people. Just forgive us for a second. The dead in Christ rise first. That means, listen, the bodies of those saints who died, we've gone to their cemetery spot and laid their body in the ground. They're not there, but their body is there. Their spirit and soul, that's with God now. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But the moment of Christ's return, the Bible says, the dead in Christ rise first. Their bodies are raised. They're parted from the grave. Then we which are alive and remain, the Bible said, are changed. That word change is metamorphosis. It means a transformation takes place. And this old mortal flesh right here that has known sin and known corruption and aged and gotten older and wrinkly, yes, This stuff, we're going to leave this here. We're going to part from this mortal body, and we're going to get an immortal body. And we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air with the bodies of the saints have gone before us. We're caught up together. We meet the Lord in the air. And then there's another parting. Those dead saints' bodies, they're going to depart from the grave. The living saints are going to part from a mortal body. Then all of us are going to part from this mortal coil, this earth upon which we walk, with its rivers of sorrows and its valleys of troubles and its dark midnights and its difficulties and trials, even though God is good. Please understand that. But know this, my friend, when Jesus comes, I will be glad to leave it all here. I don't know how you live your life today. I don't know how dug in you are around here and how much he's going to have to try and you're going to have to try and take up with you when you go. But I assure you, nobody's going to be grabbing the bumper of any stupid car. We're not going to hope we swing by the bank and pick up the count on the way out. We're not going to stop for a moment. It happens so quickly that we're caught up together and we meet the Lord in there and we part with this life. Second coming of Christ, it's a parting. Yeah, we get rid of all this stuff. And I want you to know this morning, I tell you this often, I mean that. I'm a happy man this morning. Hey, Thanksgiving's coming. Yes, the land of eternal baking stuff. Breads and cookies and pies and cakes. Oh, yes. Tomorrow night, this cookie chili cornbread contest. Who you think's judging that? Who do you think's judging that tomorrow night? I'm a happy man this morning. I woke up this morning. It was dark when I got out of bed today. I got up. I looked around. I was just thankful to be alive today, to be blessed. My life. I'm a happy man today. I'm a blessed man. I'm a thankful man this morning. But I want to go home. I want out. I don't want to go any more cemeteries. I don't want to stand beside people's hospital beds and watch them suffer. I'm done with it. And just the rigors of the struggles that life puts on us while we're here. God is good, and God is blessing us, and God is helping us. But ladies and gentlemen, let the trump of God sound today, and let's be parted from this life. I'm good with it. Hey, it's an election year. Let's get out of here quick. But it's also a parting. The second coming of Christ is a parting for the saved and the lost. Not everybody's going to heaven, and not everyone is going up. There'll be church service Sunday morning after the coming of Christ, and there'll be people who will be in church. There'll be folks pull up in the parking lot out here the Sunday morning after Jesus comes. Brother Evans will be the pastor. All the deacons will still be here. Not true. And not true in Brother Evans' case. He gets to go on Mrs. Evans' ticket. He gets to go. So that's it. But there will be people. Listen now. There will still be religion on this earth. The Sunday after Jesus goes up. Or the Saturday. Or the Sabbath. Because religion doesn't get you to heaven. Salvation gets you there. Look, ladies and gentlemen, please, can we make some sense out of this mess of confusion among Christianity and churchianity today? God looks at it like this: saved or lost. You either have eternal life or you don't. You're either born again or you're not. And it's saved or lost in the mind of God, and He knows who belongs to Him. The Bible's very clear. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And if you're a child of God, you're going up when Jesus comes back. But what if my life is not right? Your life didn't get you salvation to begin with, so it didn't cost you salvation afterwards. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You didn't get in by your living, you don't get out by it. Not advocating immoral lives and ungodly living. I'm just telling you, salvation is all a gift. Jesus paid for that. You trust Christ, you get saved, you're going up. That's it. And without salvation, you're not going, period. And there will be many who will be left, more left than taken. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, Have we not done mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name? And Jesus said to this religious crowd, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Second coming of Christ, it is a parting. There'll be people left and there'll be some taken. And salvation through Christ is what gets you up. Salvation with Christ, without Christ is what leaves you here. Period. It's not your baptism, it's not your church membership, it's not you holding out faithful to the end. It's God saving you and Him keeping you saved. That's how it works. And that's where your salvation is. Can you think about that for a moment? Not one saved person left behind. Not one. When I was in Bible college, I had a Bible professor, when he was in Bible college, told us a story about playing a prank on a fellow student, one of those gullible people that believes everything. And they were had in their college that week, they had preaching on the second coming all week long. So they thought they'd play a prank on this guy. So in their dorm floor, what they did was, while he went out to get pizza, the gullible guy, they went around and set up all this stuff to make it look like Christ had come back. Turned on the shower, threw soap in there, soap bars of soap on the floor, took clothes and laid them in a chair with socks and shoes in them and a sweater draped over a typewriter and all this kind of stuff. Made it look like people were there and boop, they were just gone. This guy, gullible man, comes back with the pizza and he opens the door and it's dead quiet. And he walks in his room and there's the clothes draped over the chair. There's a guy that put pajamas in the bed with a pajama arm sticking out of it like this. And when he walked in, as he walked in, someone on the other end of the hallway blew a trumpet. And he looked in the rooms and there's all these clothes and stuff. And there was in the middle of the floor in the hallway is a pair of shoes, socks, pants, shirt piled up on top of them. Somebody went right up. He saw that and he ran room to room and room to room and he saw that and he panicked. He got his Bible and he went out in the hallway and he started looking through his Bible saying, I did that. And he turned over and he goes, I did that. I asked Christ to save me. And he finally just looked up and went, hey, you forgot me. All the saved are going up. All the lost are not only left, they're lost. Now, please listen, I don't take the time to develop the scripture on this, but please hear me. Among the lost who are left behind, there are two categories there. Those who have heard the gospel prior to the second coming of Christ and those who have not. 70-some percent of this world has not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's available, but there are not enough missionaries to get it to them. That's what missions is about, people. 70-some percent of this world is still going to be here when Christ comes back. And those who have not heard the gospel will have another chance for salvation during that tribulation period. But hear me. Every person who knows what salvation is and knows that salvation is in Christ and has never been saved is not only lost and left, they're doomed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God's Bible says God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie because they would not believe the truth of the gospel. There is this left behind series of books. It's unscriptural. You don't hear the gospel before the rapture and then get a chance after. You're lost. It's over. You have no chance. That's why this morning, my friend, in the Shasta Baptist Church and any church that's got sense, they have an invitation, invite people to come to Christ and encourage them to do so and beg them to come to Christ. We can't make you get saved, but I assure you, you know what salvation is. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And you must trust Christ to go to heaven. You must take Him as your Savior now in this life, at this time, while you still have a chance. Don't fool around with God. Because the second coming of Christ, it is a parting. You have a chance this morning to settle this thing in your life. Church member alike, I don't care who you are today, how long you've been around this place doesn't make any difference. Everybody that walked with Jesus was not saved, and there's people from his own disciple group that wound up in hell. It's very possible for a Christian to deceive themselves, but you better make certain and settle this thing about salvation in your life and know Christ as your Savior. Because there's no chance after the rapture, no chance after the second coming. It's a parting. The second coming of Christ is also a premise. Let me explain to you what I mean by that, a premise. Most everybody knows about the second coming of Christ. most everyone will realize that Jesus could come at any moment. Listen, before we're done with this sermon today, before you get to Hometown Buffet and try and put them out of business, Jesus could come back that soon, that quick. In the twinkling of an eye, it's called one, it's known as 1/500th of a second. Not a wink of an eye, twinkling of an eye. That's Jesus getting from heaven to the clouds, us being caught up together, meeting the Lord in the air and returning to Him with Him, and the resurrection of the saints before that, all of that in a 500th of a second. No time to get right, no time to get saved, no time to figure anything out. It happens that quickly. Before you take this step on this earth, before you take the next one, you're in heaven with the Lord, just like that, that quick. This second coming of Christ, the premise is this: you need to know and be ready. So when Christ comes back, if you're saved, you're not ashamed. If you're saved, you're trying to do your best to live for Him. Not so you can go up, but so you won't be ashamed before Him in His coming, because it'll be that quick. We don't want to do oops on the way to heaven. Well, I was gonna on the way to heaven. No, you'll be there, just like that. That quick. It's the premise of the imminency of the return of Christ. How important it is that our lives are ready day by day, every day, to face the Lord Jesus. Not so that we'll be accepted into heaven, but we'll be accepted of Him. So He will look at us and we'll not be ashamed and have to bow our heads and say, well, I was so busy living for me, I didn't have time to live for you. But it's also a premise that even unsaved people know about the return of Christ. But it doesn't seem to move them very much. Some of you this morning, you've known about the return of Christ for most of your saved entire life. Let me ask you a question. Has it made a difference in how you lived your life today, yesterday, your choices tomorrow, what I do and do not do with my life? See, the second coming of Christ isn't just an event. It's a premise of God's trying to make us aware in our lives that something needs to get done here. Whatever needs to be done needs to be taken care of. And the second coming of Christ is lastly a process. When Jesus comes back, it starts this timetable of things. Everything now is within, theologically, if you'll pardon the expression, is within the door of grace. That door of grace is open. Anybody, anywhere, anytime can come to Christ now. And that door of grace has been open for, we say 2,000 years, but frankly it's been longer than that. Abraham came to Christ looking forward to Christ's return. We got saved by looking back. So in reality, the door of grace has been open for 6,000 years, but that door will not always stay open. When Christ comes back, everything changes. Then there is an exact timetable of events that take place from the return of Christ until the last great judgment. And everything happens right on schedule. And there is a process of events that take place that will not be stopped. No UN resolution. Nobody in our White House or anybody else's rule of government is going to be able to stop what God intends to do at that moment. This process begins and it just marches straight ahead. And nothing will change that. Nothing can change it. God has determined it, and it's already written in His Word, and we know exactly what happens. So the door of grace is open now. Take it now. The door of grace is open now. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. That door of grace is open now. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And for you, dear Christian friend, this morning, it's now. My living needs to get in order now. Not after Christmas. Well, I'm busy and it's Christmas and tomorrow's Halloween and then there's Thanksgiving and there's Christmas and then there's New Year's and then there's this and then there's, yeah, there's always something, huh? It's time to get our ducks in order. Now is the time. Because the process of things start, and when it starts, nothing's going to change that. I look forward to the day when Christ will return. I just want to make sure my life is lived in such a way that when He sees me, He's pleased at what I've done. Not so I can go to heaven, so I can look Him in the face and say, I know I won't be able to say everything. I won't be able to look at Him and say, I did everything You told me to do. I won't be able to do that. I know that. But I want to be working at it. I want to be busy about the things of the Master. Jesus Christ is coming again. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.